Welcome to Hope Is Here, bringing hope to those struggling with life's difficult situations.
Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and we are broadcasting live from the Christian Product Expo, downtown Lexington, Kentucky, Rupp Arena. We're at the Central Bank Center here, and just formerly known as Heritage Hall, and over 100 authors here in Lexington. We're just blessed to be at this national conference, and you may hear some noise in the background, which you normally don't, because we broadcast from the radio station, the studio, but we want to take over here on the road, and it's just been a real blessing to meet so many wonderful authors of wonderful books, and I'm excited about this one today. We don't do a lot of fiction books, but man, Jesus told a lot of stories, parables they called them in the Bible, and we've got a book today. We're going to talk with the author. It's called Once Upon a Time, a collection of short stories for those trying to find their way home. It's by Dr. Samuel Blumenthal, and he affectionately said, just call me Sam. So Dr. Blumenthal, or Sam as we'll call you today and tomorrow, thanks for joining us. Tell us about this book, Once Upon a Time.
Well, thank you for having me. So the subtitle says a lot. It says short stories for those trying to find their way home. And kind of the trick part of that is that we're all trying to find our way home, even as believers, even as Christians. We still have a long ways to go, and God is always trying to work redemptively in our lives. I've learned over time that fiction can not only be a powerful tool for teaching and even transformation, but I'm beginning to wonder if it might even be a more powerful tool than just nonfiction or like listening to a sermon in church. There's something about stories that gets through to us, and part of it may be actually because somebody talks to us directly, we tend to tighten up, we tend to get defensive, and not all the time, but that's kind of our natures. When you're listening to a story, it's not about you, it's about somebody else, and somehow it seems to get through in another way. So the stories were very much written for that purpose. They're all inspired by something in particular, some gospel truth, something else in our lives with God. But they're very much meant not just to encourage, but hopefully to teach, and hopefully to even prompt people in their pain and their difficulty, and hopefully be really helpful to people. So
I love that. We're going to talk about it more in depth here, probably in our second program, about how you see kind of all of life as a four-chapter story. We're going to talk about that probably more in tomorrow's program. But share a little bit about your faith journey. You are have a Jewish background as a believer, and tell us a little bit about your faith journey, how you came to know Christ.
Yeah, I grew up in the South in Charlotte, North Carolina, a Jewish family, Reformed Jewish, which if people are not really familiar, not really religious, not really. Most Jewish people today are not religious anymore. Even most of the Jews in Israel, maybe 90% of them, in Israel, they're nationalists, they're Zionists, they care about the country, but they really don't believe in the Old Testament as literal and real anymore. Kind of sad, but I think the church, has become more liberal over time too. So not as many churches teach the real gospel, the real message, teach salvation like it really is. So it's kind of similar. But grew up with all those traditions and going to temple, but not really learning in God actually who he was. It was kind of in my later life, I was actually 45, and just difficulties of life actually kind of found my faith. Wasn't really looking for it. God kind of brought me to the end of myself in a way, and I kind of found him there. So that was just over 23 years ago. So,
well, I love that. In your mid-40s, my father didn't become a follower of Jesus until he was almost 50. And I just want to encourage those people listening, keep praying for people, because you kind of said you had to get to your end of yourself. And same thing with my father. And it's never too late for somebody to, quote, surrender, is it?
Oh, no, never is. I mean, I look back, too, and it's just, I was just so liberal and so lost to that. To me, it's just an incredible miracle. I mean, let's look back and just God's hand was in so many things. It's just his grace Yeah, I sometimes believe the fact that I came to Christ is a bigger miracle than the parting of the Red Sea.
I love it.
I mean, it's incredible. Yeah, thank God. It's just amazing.
It's amazing. You tell me over 2,000 years later, God's still doing miracles. Is that right?
He is. Yeah, if he can bring me to faith, he can do anything.
Well, I love that, especially for men. We wear our mask and think we don't need a Savior, but I know a lot of times I've found that people, they put one knee down, but then sometimes when life gets to the point, you finally have to put both knees down, kind of like a boxer when the mask, they surrender. Have you kind of found that in your journey?
Well, I think, for me, people don't use the word idols or idolatry that much, but I really think it's very much more simple than that. I think in our love, you love the Father, you love the things of the world, and we do both actually as believers, but it's really about that. Is do you love God? Do you worship Him? Do you follow Him? Do you trust Him more than anything else? Or, how attached are you to these things of the world? And we're all attached to certain things of the world. And I was too. To me, it actually ended up being the woman in my life was like an addiction. It's like it was too important, I think Tim Keller said that idols are good things made into ultimate things. So it's a good thing, like career, success, money, possessions. There's nothing bad inherently in it, but you make it something you have to be happy, then that changes it completely. And so that was, God used that in my life to really kind of bring me to my knees and show me why I was, other things don't satisfy like God. They can't. They only seem to be satisfying when they're going well, whatever that means. Take it away, or you just get too insecure about it, which you should be. But it was never. Nothing can satisfy our hearts like God can. He made these hearts for Himself. Other people have said that much better, and we try to replace that with other things. It can distract us, but it can never fulfill us.
One of the things that I heard Pascal say many years ago, there's a God-sized-shaped hole in all of us that only can fill, but as you were saying so well, I mean, the world and the enemy tempts us to so many different things to try to fill that hole, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, we'll do it. I think it was A.W. Tozer, the great pastor and author, said that, God, he gave Adam and Eve everything, all the things in this life is a blessing in the garden before the fall. But then... what happened kind of in the fall, one way of looking at it is they kind of took all the things and said, well, we really like them more than you, or we want them more. They made the all the things in this life that God has given us, all the pleasures, everything, was kind of like icing on the cake, and we kind of turned it upside down and made the things of this world the cake. It was never meant to be that way.
You just tune in, you're driving down the road, and just tune in to the radio program Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and we are broadcasting live from the Christian Product Expo at taking the Hope Is Here program on the road for the first time after 5.5 years. And so you might hear some noise occasionally in the background, but we are talking with author Dr. Samuel Blumenthal. He's written a really cool book called Once Upon a Time, a collection of short stories for those trying to find their way home. And, your background, Dr. Blumenthal, is that you have work in education as a psychologist for 30 years, so you got a lot of insight into human behavior. So I got to assume that had to be a little helpful for character development with these short stories that you wrote about.
Well, it definitely was. So like I said, I came to Christ though at 45, kind of like right in the midst of those 30 years of practice. And everything that God and the Holy Spirit taught me about our hearts and our minds was just made it so much, more real but deeper and richer and all that. Our greatest struggle is, with sin more than anything else. It's with ourselves. Now, other people can be problems for us, but the issue is really in our own hearts. And I never would have thought that before that. I was actually very Freudian and very psychoanalytic. And Freud was actually a Jewish guy too, and he didn't believe in God at all. He discovered a lot of things that were real, but it had nothing to do with God, unconscious motives. And Jesus talked a lot about that, divided hearts and trying to get people to acknowledge, you know, their real motives, which they were in denial about. Freud was the first person to really kind of write about that stuff, but it hadn't, he didn't really believe in God. So yeah, it was good background. But then when I came to Christ, it was like, yeah, everything was just much, much different. Yeah, battle is, yeah, I mean, sin has undone all of us, you know. I remember just growing up as a kid, too. I mean, you'd hear the word sin every day of the week, or every week people would use the word sin in normal conversation. You never hear it anymore. It's kind of, it's almost as if sin doesn't exist anymore. People don't use that word. You know, it's like another kind of symptom of our culture on how it's gotten further and further away from God.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. You're right. We kind of just don't talk about it. And, of course, we know the middle letter of sin is I. And, I share that sometimes because we really do just kind of ignore it, yet sin is still there and the enemy uses it, yet we kind of excuse it. Let me ask you this. At what point did you become interested in expressing gospel truth through the short story media?
So I mentioned idolatry before, and God just kind of really, I came to know him when I was 45 in the year 2000. And then a few years later, he kind of really showed me how my real problem, biggest problem in my life, was making an idol out of the person in my life. And all that, and it was just so rich and so incredible. And he not only showed it to me, he kind of pretty much delivered me from it too, which is a whole nother thing. It was just so incredible. I had to start writing it down. I really felt like you took me through this, so I would write it down. People don't talk about idolatry as much as we should. We're all in bondage to things. We just don't like to pretend like we are. And he showed me it and then delivered me from it, and it happened in a very particular way. And so I didn't think it would be that, it would take that long to write this book about my life and my story and all these things. Yeah, it was much harder than I realized. And about three versions later, I finally found my own editor. That was a fourth version. It's still not done. It's like probably maybe two books. And in the meantime, really, kind of just to almost take a break from that project, which was just seemed like it was never going to end, I started writing short stories. And I've always loved stories. And God used stories in my life. He actually, when I first came to faith, at the end of myself, I prayed that night, but before I went to sleep, for God to give me a dream, to explain the cross to me. I just didn't, I understood the cross, how it was explained, but it just didn't convict me. It was like, and I wanted to give my life to God and to Christ, but it's like, you know, I didn't understand why it was necessary, what the sacrifice was about and all that. And that very night, prayed for him to give me a dream, and he did. We don't have enough time to go into it, but there was actually a dream, and it explained exactly that. And then there was a story in the dream, and then the dream was connected to a movie I had just seen, which is another story. So God used stories in my life many, many times. He used a lot of the Chronicles of Narnia stories to really teach me important things. So I kind of learned that way. But I've always loved stories, and I just have come to believe over time that we really might learn more from fiction, from stories, than we do from somebody talking directly to us. There's something just very powerful in stories. You know, why did Jesus, when he really had something important to say, why did he choose to tell a parable instead of talking more directly?
All right. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time, but the good news is that Dr. Blumenthal is going to be back with us again tomorrow. We are talking about his new book called Once Upon a Time. It's a collection of short stories for those trying to find their way home, and I know you'd really be blessed by it. I want to encourage you to check out his website, samuelblumenthal.com. That's samuelblumenthal.com, and we'll have all that information available with the podcast of this radio program. Just go to our website, hopeishere.today.org. That's hopeishere.today.org. For Dr. Samuel Blumenthal, I'm Greg Horn. We'll see you tomorrow on Hope Is Here.
Thank you for listening to Hope Is Here podcast. To listen to one of our previous programs or to make a tax-deductible donation, please go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today.